Our scripture for the homily is from Psalm 119, verse 105. These are the words of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word and the light that it sheds upon our feeble lives. We ask that despite what our eyes may see and what our hearts may feel, that this day your word would be the solid foundation of our faith and the comfort of all our hope, so that we may look to you, our solid rock and refuge. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And I chose this text of scripture for a couple of reasons. First being, this is one of Tabitha's favorites. And the second is, it's entirely appropriate for a Christian funeral. You all know Tabitha, and she would simply be embarrassed if I spent my time talking about her. And you could probably imagine her voice. Oh, Pastor Barnes, please don't. And a little shake of the head. But although I was a pastor for a short time, she would know that I would say, too bad. And so to accommodate both of those polarities, where I want to talk to you about how great she was and how she would not want me to, I'm going to find a little bit of a middle ground. I'm going to talk about God's word and what I think Tabitha would want you to know. What is it? What light from God's word would our dear departed sister want you to be left with? What is that light that brought her through the valley of the shadow? I think she would let me do that. How can the word of God illumine our path this day? What are we to know from God concerning the tragic death of our sister in Christ? The first thing I think Tabitha would want you to know, however hard and difficult this might be to swallow, is that this too is part of God's good and loving plan. Our path this day needs to be illumined by the truth that God gives and God takes away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Job chapter 1. We need to know that all of our days are ordered for us before there was even one of them. Psalm 139. We need to know that the Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth. Psalm 135. And you need to know that not even a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the Father's will. Matthew chapter 10. The living God holds absolute dominion over our lives. He is the potter and we are the clay. And his plan is deep and far beyond our finding out. This day, each one of you is faced with the perfect, wise, holy, and loving will of God. It's true that we cannot see how God fits all the pieces together, how these severed covenant bonds can possibly be good, how death, which seems so damn powerful, will be overcome for the good of those who love him. But we are Christians. And our comfort in life and in death is that we are not our own. But in body and in soul, we belong to our faithful Savior. Now, if we could step back far enough from history and see the whole picture of God's plan and know how he will work all things for the good of those who love him, we would see it and we say, Lord, that is perfect. And we would shut our mouths. The problem is we can't step back far enough to see it. We are not God. The word of God is our lamp to our feet and the light to our path. And so we must trust him. This is how Tabitha lived. Her robust faith in the goodness of God in all things. It's what made one of her favorite quotes from the martyr missionary Jim Elliot so meaningful. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Most of you have probably heard Tabitha say that. And why would we, like Tabitha, believe such a thing? Because the Word of God assures us that nothing happens to us that does not come from our Father's loving hand. This is the light we need. The second thing I think Tabitha would want you to know from the light of God's Word is that in this time of despair, you need joy. "Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." Psalm 125. "There is a vapor that takes place on the earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. And there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. And I say, this is vapor. And I commend to you joy. For man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and to drink and to be joyful. For this will go with him in your toil through the days of your life that God has given you under the sun." Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Jesus says in John 16, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, and the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remains in anguish for joy that a human has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name, so ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Paul tells us in Romans chapter 15, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." James tells us this, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet trials of various kinds." Peter tells us, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable. It is undefiled and unfading, and it is kept from heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory." But how? There's the light. There's the lamp for your path. There's what I think Tabitha would want you to know. Yet this day, find it. Obtain joy. But how? One of the reasons that grieving does not pertain to joy is because we feel guilty about it. Here's some thoughts that have probably run through your mind. How can I enjoy this fill in the blank? Food. How can I enjoy this music? How can I enjoy this company of friends and family knowing that Tabitha is dead? I can't believe I had a good time last night. How could I have done that? Am I dishonoring her by laughing? Have I forgotten her? Am I dishonoring Tabitha if I join the others in the other room? How can those people be joyful this day? Don't they know the grief I have? You know those thoughts. Many of us have them this day. The problem with our grief is that we can pile on our guilt. And we must not. The light of God's word calls us to joy in the midst of our trials. And we are not allowed to allow our sadness to chase away our joys. We are Christians. We get both. We have sadness because we lost our sister in Christ, but we have joy because we haven't lost her. In the very same moments, you can weep tears of sadness with a smile on your face. Permit your joys to be deepened, expanded, and filled out because of your sadnesses. This tragedy, through faith and faith alone, has the blessing of making your forthcoming joys more solid. What do I mean by that? You may know that one of Tabitha's favorite books is The Horse and His Boy by C.S. Lewis. Now, how many of us will ever be able to read that book again without thinking of her? And what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you read The Horse and His Boy to your children? And you're reminded of Tabitha. Are you going to allow the pain and the sadness of that memory to throw the book across the room? Or with tears in your eyes, are you going to read it with a smile on your face because that book has more meaning now? Are you going to allow your joy to be filled because you know Tabitha loved that story? You need to understand that your sadness and that experience can firm up your joy because it is the very same thing that brought her joy. Narnia means more now, and your sadness brings more weight and glory into the world as you give thanks. Tabitha loved that book, and when you read it, you should love it more. Joy is the life in the heart that overcomes deadly despair. It is the highway to Zion where you will find the fullness of joy. In God's sovereign plan, He sent His Son to be born in the flesh and under the law to die for joy. For joy, Jesus transforms all things. It was for joy set before Him that He went to the cross. This painful severing and these experiences of death will be transformed in the days to come for all of you. It's not just in the big things either. It's not just that we rejoice that Tabitha is with Jesus and Haven and Jesse even now. We certainly should. But we also rejoice in the small things that have been transformed. One of Tabitha's favorite treats is Nutella. On occasion, she would watch my children, babysit them, and she would never accept cash as a thank you. I guess you guys never let her do that. And so my wife and I resorted to buying her tubs of Nutella from Costco. She wouldn't take money from us, but she would take that. And now for us who remain, even Nutella is transformed. Nutella has a weight of glory because of the death of and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of Tabitha's delight. And every time you eat of it, you should delight in it all the more. That's what I mean by letting your sadness give way to greater joy. Eat Nutella with a smile on your face and tears in your eyes. Do not allow your sadness to chase away the joy of the Christian life and faith. But allow these afflictions to give way to greater joy because you know what's coming. And one final thing. Tabitha might not like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. One final thing from the light of God's word to shine upon you this day. From Hebrews chapter 12. We read this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is what Tabitha would want you to know. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are surrounded by a great glory cloud of witnesses, which now includes our sister. And we must run the race that God has marked out for us. Tabitha's race is done, and she has entered into the joy of her Lord. And for us who remain this day, the light of God's word for you is this: keep your eyes on Jesus. Tabitha's eyes are filled with his glory, and ours should be too. Alan, keep your eyes on Jesus. God has holiness and joy in mind for you. And even from this, God will work good. When we all feel weakened from our grief, God calls us to stand and do not despair. When you're tempted to lose faith or to walk away or to give up or to be overcome with self-pity, look to Jesus and obey him in every moment that he has set before you. Jesus has set his love upon us, and he has died for the payment of our sins. And he was risen from the dead for our unending life, and he's been raised to the right hand of the Father for all victory over every enemy. He's been given the keys of death and Hades, and he will never lose anyone given to him. He's poured out his Spirit upon us to unite us to him so that our lives are hidden in Christ with God. When the darkness creeps over you, turn your eyes to Jesus. Trust that God's design and plan in all things are from his love. That out of the grave comes life, and out of sadness comes greater joy. Turn your eyes to Jesus. This is the part that Tabitha wouldn't like. It is because of Jesus this day that we can say of our sister Tabitha these words: the Lord is Tabitha's shepherd. Tabitha shall not want. He makes Tabitha to lie down in green pastures. He leads Tabitha beside the waters of rest. He restores Tabitha's soul. He leads Tabitha in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though Tabitha walked through the valley of the shadow of death, Tabitha feared no evil. For you are with Tabitha. Your rod and your staff, they comfort Tabitha. You prepared a table before Tabitha in the presence of Tabitha's enemies, and you anointed Tabitha's head with oil. And Tabitha's cup overflows. Only goodness and mercy followed Tabitha all the days of Tabitha's life, and Tabitha shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we would be lost in outer darkness apart from the light of your word and the Spirit of grace in our lives. We're thankful that you sent your Son, the light of the world, to overcome the darkness of our hearts and the darkness of wickedness. And we're thankful that you have delivered our sister Tabitha into the hands of Christ, her King, so that she may live forevermore to never die again. This day we ask that you would help us to find joy in the midst of our sadness, so that we can continue to give thanks and praise to you, our God and Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.